three. Kensington, 166. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Oh, send thy spirit down to write thy law upon my heart, nor let my tongue indulge deceit, nor act to the liar's part. The 1013.
peace of the Lord would enable me, I would draw your attention to the 119th Psalm, verse 130. The 130th verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 130 in Psalm 119. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You notice, friends, perhaps at the outset that it is the entrance of thy words that giveth light, and it is the same, the entrance that giveth understanding unto the simple. We may read the word of God all our days, that we may have a natural understanding in the literal part of it. But all the different thing is the entrance of thy word. Things may enter naturally into our natural understanding, like a schoolboy learns his lessons at school, but this is entirely different here. The entrance of thy words giveth light. No natural reading all our days, and no natural, merely natural understanding of the word of God all our days can give the light that is meant here. Nor the understanding unto the simple. Oh, it is a wonderful mercy if we have ever known anything of this entrance of thy word. You know what the word means literally. It means an opening of a door. It can mean that. The opening of some door or other means, and an entering into that place. Not just a mere reading of the word, but that word entering within. And for this to be brought to pass, the giving of light through it, it is only God, the Holy Ghost, that can perform this within us. It is only He that can give us a heart that realizes, and that His words will enter into. The Word of God will never enter into the heart of man in his fallen nature, not to give him real spiritual light. By nature he is dead in trespasses and in sins. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. Here is something entirely different to a mere natural understanding and an entering into your brain of the things of the Word of God, thy Word. That, oh, what a different thing it is, and what a wonderful mercy it is, if the Holy Ghost has ever granted unto us a heart that He will enter into, a heart that is His own giving, and which is absolutely necessary and essential before we can really experimentally know that the entrance of His words give light. And it is by the result of this, the giving of this light, the consequence of the entrance of the word, it is by the manifestation of this that we have hope that it really has entered into us, and that we have been blessed with this in our experience. The entrance of thy word giveth life. Now, light, of course, reveals. We can see nothing in darkness, absolute darkness, can we? Even literally. And as I have said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. No, they're dark to him. His mind has been darkened by sin through the fall of our first parents. Well, you may think you know a lot about the Word of God. You may know a lot from end to end. But this is an entirely different matter. For the entrance of his word to give light. Well now, we said it is only as it does this that we realize and understand and have hope that we have experienced this by what it reveals. Well, in the first place, it will reveal to you your darkness, your sinfulness, your lost condition, the entrance of his word. And this does not of necessity mean the entrance of the verbal word of God. No. Although some of us know, we hope, what it was for the word of God to enter into our hearts, that new heart, we hope, we have been given in the new birth, though we understood nothing of it at the time. And if you had told us at the time that we had that, we couldn't have believed it at all. But we know that by the substance of the Word of God entering into this new heart, it began to reveal things. It gave light upon ourselves, light upon God himself, light upon his word, light upon the things of eternity, light upon things we had never believed before, a light that we had never seen, never understood before, never dreamed of before. A light that shone within may not have been in a great sensational way, no, but the entrance of his word giveth light. All the first thing it shows us is the solemn condition that we're in through the fall. It shows us something of the holiness of that God that we have to deal with. Indeed, it gives us in this life to believe that he is. Here we read, don't we, concerning faith, that he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the first place, we never sought him. We had no need of him, feelingly, and we had no real understanding or belief of his very existence. No, not like we have when this light comes. Now this light may dawn very, very gently into the heart, or it may come suddenly. Just according to the sovereignty of the giver of it, the Holy Ghost. But in every case, it gives light. The entrance of his word. In some cases, the Lord has used his verbal word. And that verbal word has given light. Or it has shown them what they are in the sight of the Holy God. It has brought the things of eternity into their hearts. It has brought feelings, sensations that they never had before. And they may have tried to get rid of these things, but if it is the work of the Holy Ghost, it will come again. It may, for a time, as it were, it may be withheld, but it will come up again in your heart, and this light will give on the, it will, this word will give light in your soul. And, oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Can you go back to a time in your experience when your hope, light began to dawn in your soul? When you began to see things you had not seen before? You may have heard about them. It is something like the case of Job. Job said, didn't he, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And that what was the result? Wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. And that is where this light will bring you and me, as it dawns upon us, whether it is in a gentle way or whether it is more sudden. if you look at the rising of the sun, literally, sometimes we see that rising very clear, very plain, with a clear sky. Sometimes the sky is cloudy, and we do not see it so plain. Perhaps not for hours. But we know it's there because we have light. Light. Oh, light reveals, doesn't it? When we were in our unregeneracy, we saw not the things of eternity in the same light as we do now. And we saw not God in the light that we hope we see him now. And we had no feeling with it. No. We had vague ideas perhaps of these things. But oh, how different when the word of the Lord comes into the heart, giving light upon yourself, light upon God, light upon showing you what a poor sinner you are, and giving you to feel it. For where this light comes into the heart, there is life with it. Life and light come together in the souls of God's people. And every one of the election of grace will be blessed during their sojourn in this world with this light and life in their soul. You know, for instance, a dead body has no life, and of course it has no light. The two go together. But where there is life, there is light. Light naturally in a normal person. And oh, it is so spiritually. Where there is this light that begins to dawn upon the soul, it may be gently. As we have said, it may be more forcible, but in any case, there's feeling with it. Feeling. There's no feeling where there's nothing but death. But when this light comes in, there's feeling with it, denoting life. Life. The dead know not anything, but the living, they feel, and they begin to see. And all this dawns upon them. It is almost like it is in nature. When a child is first born, if it is normal, it has light. It has life, naturally. And there is something within it that soon craves for that which will sustain its life, food. It will soon, if it is healthy and normal, let one know that it wants something. Is it not so spiritually? this life within the soul that the Holy Ghost breathes in a new birth. Christ gave us a good description of it when he spoke to Nicodemus. He said, this new birth, it is like the wind. Sometimes the wind, you know, is very, very of high velocity, gale force. Sometimes it is not. Sometimes it is very, very gentle, almost what we call a breeze, but it's a motion of air, it is wind. And it is so when the Holy Ghost works in the soul. What a wonderful description that is. And how it shows the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost in bestowing this new birth. The different ways that he bestows it, and the different depths or heights that he works in. But all the mercy it is to know it. And if you do know it, you'll be something like we have described the natural babe. There will be a craving for something within you. You won't hardly know what it is at first. I didn't. Oh, when the Word of God comes into your heart and it opens your blind eyes and unstops your deaf ears, it gives you to see light that is in God's light. And it gives you to see that there is a God, a holy, holy God. It gives you to see and feel that you are a sinner before him. It puts faith into your heart. You begin to believe what perhaps you didn't believe before. And perhaps what you hated and derided before. Now it becomes a certainty to you. You can't get away from it. And there will be a craving for something within. You'll hardly know what. But as it develops, as the Holy Ghost goes on in his work, he will reveal to you in this light many, many things. As he goes on in this work, he will not leave you just to despair in the light of an awful God, an awful angry judge against your sins. No. No, if the work is his, he will complete it. And he will go on in that work. And he will show you that though you are a sinner, that God is holy, that he cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance, yet there is a way of mercy. Mercy. And he will begin as his word, as the entrance of his word, either by the preaching of the gospel, or in the private reading, or he may bring that word into your heart without any means, yet he will use the entrance of it into your heart to give you light. Light, and that light will give you light upon salvation matters, mercy. That after all, God is a God of mercy. He delights in mercy. You can't believe that, can you, at first? Nay, we can't believe it up now, that he delights in mercy. That as he goes on in this work, he will show you that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that though no man can approach unto the Father, a holy God, yet it is possible through him. And that he will show you that Christ is the light, the real light of the world. And and as he mercifully goes on in this work, it may be drawn out a long time, or it may be done more quickly, that he will reveal to you something of the beauty and the glory and the light that is in this glorious person, Christ, and we will make him a sensual to your peace. You will feel that you can have no peace until you know him. And all the longing there will be in your heart after him. I said at first you would pray for something and you would hardly know what. Like the infant child craves for milk, for food, the apostle mentions it, using it as a figure, Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, that is spiritually. As this word enters your heart, and what a mercy it is, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You see, it is in the plural words, not just singular. And how many, many words are yours to teach us, to profit, as this light dawns within, shows you your need of Christ. And not only, as we have said before, it not only gives cold, mere light, but there's life with it, and that life feels. And it feels after food, it wants food. And the light will show you sooner or later that Christ is the life of the soul, that he is the food that you long for, and he will give you to seek for that. And you will not be satisfied without it if the work is real. You may go on for years and years perhaps seeking this, that is the revelation of Christ to your soul. And you may many a time doubt and fear that you will never have it. But as sure as the Holy Ghost has done this in you and given you a desire after Christ, made him the light of your soul, and give you a feeling after him, so surely will he bless you with him. Here you leave this time saved. Oh yes. And all your hope regarding eternity, for he will bring into your mind the things of eternity. Or he will bring solemnly into your mind the words concerning eternity, the death, judgment to follow death, eternity. Oh, what a solemn sound it will be to you. Where shall I spend eternity? You will begin to see that death is not the end of everything, it is but the beginning of a never-ending solemn eternity that you will spend either in hell or heaven. These things, by the words entering into your very soul, give you light upon them, and faith comes by these, this, and oh, what solemn belief there is in these things. How solemn they become to you. But what a sweet blessing it is when Christ begins to be revealed in your soul. And there comes into your heart a who can tell, if maybe after all I'm right, and that this is the work of the Lord himself in my heart, raising up your hopes. Oh, perhaps soon, your hopes will be attacked by Satan. He's ever on the watch. Oh, it is as true now as it was when Cowper wrote it. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And the entrance of the words of God bringing light into your soul will bring you upon your knees to seek for salvation. And at opportunities when you can, you'll be found in secret, beseeching the Lord for mercy, mercy for your soul. O eternity will be so solemn. Well, but what a wonderful favour it is to know these things and to have this light in your hearts. But oh, what a mercy it is that you can never be satisfied until Christ, who is the light himself, until he is revealed to your soul. And this glimmering, shall we call it, of light in the beginning of things will never be satisfied within you until you know something of the full light and that know Christ as your light and life. It is a mercy indeed to feel in your heart a drawing unto him, knowing that if your sins were not put away by the sacrifice of himself, knowing that unless his righteousness, that perfect obedience to the holy law of God which you have broken and continually break, oh, you will want to know if that righteousness, that fulfillment of that law, is yours by imputation. For he worked it out to be imputed to his people. He had no need of it himself. But as Bunyan puts it somewhere, he having two coats, he gave one away to his neighbour. And he worked out this robe of righteousness for his people. And what a love that was here. What a love was in the heart of the Father to give him, to send him into this sinful world. What a love was in Christ to take upon himself the salvation of his people, that number that God the Father had given him in covenant engagement before the world began, before they fell. The Father loved them. He wrote their names in his book. He gave them to his eternal Son, who was ever from all eternity his well-beloved Son, the Son of his love. He gave them to him, and he took them to redeem them from sin. And he worked out this righteousness for them, because they never could have any of themselves that is not to come before God with, by any way of merit for their salvation. Oh, the Holy Ghost, and as he brings this light into the soul, he will show us that all our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. A stench in his nostrils. Oh, as you read the Word, as you read the Gospels, and as light is in your heart, how it shows you what a dreadful thing self-righteousness was to Christ. How he denounced it more than anything else on earth. The Pharisees and the scribes, how he denounced them for their self-righteousness. That, oh, he will bring you to be with the publican in the temple, and your cry will be, God be merciful to me, a sinner, knowing your sins, feeling them within. And you will want to know something concerning his precious blood. That blood that atoned for sin. That blood that was the blood of the God-man mediator, Christ. No ordinary blood. Oh, the validity was in this blood. How precious it was in the sight of the Father. How precious God, the Holy Ghost, makes it to his people. For it is only by this, the application of this precious blood, that sin is washed away, even experimentally in the conscience. And it brings that sweet peace into the conscience. Oh, what a thing, what a wonderful thing is forgiven sin, to feel it in one's conscience. To feel by living faith in the heart, to feel through the entrance of his words within, maybe not verbal words, but the substance of them in the person and work of Christ, his finished work, to have it entering into your very soul. Oh, there is no greater blessing under the sun than this, to know that your sins have been washed away, put behind his back, never to be remembered against you anymore forever, and that when you die you will be clothed with the glorious justifying righteousness of Christ, and be pure, without blood, without blemish or spot, and that he will present you to himself faultless before the throne of his glory. Oh, to have this in your soul, the entrance of thy words giveth light. And this is the really, shall we call it, the height, the blessed height of this light. I think in this world you may have much light, perhaps even godly light upon the scriptures, and you may have light upon your pathway, but to have light upon your soul in the salvation of it, oh, it exceeds everything. It exceeds everything. Oh, to feel, to have a hope in your heart that when eternity comes, it will be but a step out of this world of sin and iniquity into that world of light, where you will be in that light altogether, in the fullness of that light. Christ, who is the light, there to be in his presence throughout a never-ending eternity, filled with his love, a never-ending peace in your heart, that to taste of these things here in this life, what a wonderful favour it is. When now the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. It will give you to understand many, many things that you can't understand. If you speak at any time to a natural man, he may be very religious, he may come very, very near to what you may believe in yourself. But if you converse with that person, you will find that sooner or later, in some things, is darkness itself. And you feel it. You will feel it. And you will feel a separation from him. And this light that gives understanding, the entrance of it into your heart, or it will give you to feel such a separation in your spirit from this sinful world, from the openly profane and the mere professor of religion, who has nothing in his heart, who has never received this light. He may talk of it, but oh, as you come in contact with them, if you have much to do with them, and this light of life is in your heart, you can't mix with them. No, we have to deal with them in this world, we have to be amongst them, but even as Christ, oh, what a separate life it was from this world. It had nothing in it whatever that interested that holy, holy nature of his. No, and if the entrance of his words have given you light and life, there will be that nature in you, as well as your old sinful nature, that is separate from this evil, sinful world. And and oh, what a mercy it is to know it and feel it. Oh, how many there seem to be in this day who profess to have this light, and yet they seem quite at home in the world, quite at home with ungodly people, quite at home with those who are nothing but atheists. What a sad thing this is. And there is so much deception. This wretched thing called communism, atheism. Enlightened people naturally, and educated people, they're so kind that they will do you a good action. You may have a very, very good neighbour, but at the bottom they're atheists, godless. Oh, how solemn these things are. That I tell you, if you've got this real light, the entrance of it in your heart, it will give you understanding, and you will feel a godly separation from them. You will indeed. You will never find, if you read the Gospels, you will never find that Christ had anything to do with this world, except to do good in it. That he had no affiliation with the people of it. No union to them. When they showed him the goodly buildings of the temple, and they would probably have had him to admire the building, he said, there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not come down. When Satan, with the power that was given to him, took him up into a high mountain, showed him all the glories of this world in a moment of time, that miracle was given to him, permitted of God, of him. he said, it shall be thine, all the glory of it. It's mine, it's given to me, but it was given to him through sin. But he said, I will give it to thee, thou wilt fall down and worship me. Oh, the dreadfulness of it. But Christ did not succumb to such things. No, the glory of this world was nothing to him. No, and what a victory he wrought, overcoming every temptation. And that victory was for his people. Though they are tempted in this world, they carry about with them the same nature they were brought in. It is sinful. They will be made to know it. But what a mercy it is to know something of a warfare between the new nature and the old. And at times to realize something of this blessed word, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Light upon your path, light upon your exercises. Not only light in the beginning, but this will continue. And you will have light upon the afflictive things sometimes in your life. Sometimes it may be a long time to wait for it, but how often have we been enabled to look back, to look over the past, and light has come upon things that we didn't understand, things that we couldn't understand at the time, and light has dawned upon our soul, and how different it has appeared. This light gives understanding unto the sinful. I know this word is abused, but in its real meaning, it means a person is made plain and simple, clear. Like Christ said of Nathanael. He spoke of him, didn't he? He said that he was without guile. He was a person that had no guile. That is, no deception in his ways. And this word, simple, it means a plain person. And these plain people, they give to understand things that people think they're wise do not understand. How many times Christ blessed his Father that these things were hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes, revealed unto simple people. As Verich says, these simple people, they walk the best, their eyes to see things that the wise do not see. Oh, what a mercy it is to belong to these simple people who have been given the entrance. This word has not only remained on the outside, externally, but it's come into their hearts. It has taken possession of them, so to speak. And it has given them light, and it giveth understanding too. But here I must leave it, the time is gone. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £30.70, for which we will be sincerely thankful. God willing, Mr. Farley is expected to preach on Wednesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with singing hymn number 748. In Wareham 431, in darkness born I went astray, and wandered from the gospel way, and since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. So poor and blind and lame I am, my all is bound up in the Lamb, and blessed am I when I see my spirit in most poverty. 748.
and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of God the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us now and forever.